our help and only expectation is in the name of the Lord, which made heaven and earth, which keepeth truth forever and never forsaketh the works of his own hands. Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from him that is and that was and that is to come, and from the seven spirits which are before his throne, and from Jesus Christ, which is the faithful witness, the first begotten of death and the King of all the princes of the earth. Amen. Let's continue our service by singing Psalm 40, the verses 11 through 14. Psalm 40, the verses 11 through 14. The word of God will be read unto us out of the Gospel of John, the 5th chapter. John chapter 5. Let's pray together. O most glorious and eternal God, thou art not in need of our ministry and our services. Thou art in thyself full of glory, and no one can add or take it away. Thou art fulfilling the heaven and the earth with thyself. Within thy eternal counsel, thou hast said that thou wouldst save sinners, of whom thou knowest that they should fall by their own sins and trespasses, to glorify thee in thy only begotten Son, in thy grace and mercifulness. And it's in this name, thy name, O Lord Jesus, that we pray unto thee, O God, that thou would hear us, live among us, draw us nigh unto thee, bring us to true knowledge of self and above all of thee, O precious Savior, the one in three and the three in one, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. We pray thee, Lord, that the power of thy word and spirit may be in and among us, that young souls created for an eternity may hear, repent, and believe. We pray, O Lord, that thou would open thy word to hear it and to speak it clearly with a humble mind, according to thy spirit, to the glory of thy name, and salvation of lost sinners. Remember the church, also the church thou hast given us, this country, this place, America, when thou brought our forefathers here in New York, 1600, that time. This week there is a synod, Lord. We hope to attend for some days. We pray, O Lord, that thy glory may shine, and that when we have to appear for some bodies of the synod, that we would be helped by thee and testify thy wonders, thy glory, thy righteousness and faithfulness, thy truth, and thy Son. O Lord, thou hast placed us in this church. We heard that thou provided Fort MacLeod, another congregation in Alberta, with a new minister, Reverend DeLange. And we pray, Lord, that his coming to this continent may be in thy favor, that he may work here with thy goodness and grace, and that our other congregations may be planted, Lord, all over this continent, in thy old Reformed church, which thou hast given us when pastors and priests became ministers of the word. We pray thee, open thereunto the opportunities like thou hast done. Remember the work in Sheffield, Lord, that also Monday evening things may continue, and that we may see the interest of thy kingdom and thy glory. O Lord, we humbly beseech thee that thou would send in favor a man to work together in that great harvest. We pray also for our children, family Campbell in Malawi. Lord, strengthen them in the work of translation. Strengthen them in the preparation when there will be an orphanage. The Lord, thou art willing that always may be prosperous, and if there is affliction, that they may look upon thee through faith, resting in the unseen and not in the things which are to be seen. We pray also for the work in Quebec. Draw them nigh unto thee, those blind Roman Catholics, full of idolatry, Lord, and let them know that only thy righteousness is saving knowledge, saving righteousness, as a free gift to poor and needy sinners. Oh, be with us. Apply thy word to our souls. Remember this government, the world in war. Remember our friend in Yugoslavia. When we hear that the things are worsening, O Lord, that he may sit in thy shelter and under thy wings, and that these warring times may be also times of prospering the gospel. We ask it for Jesus' sake. Amen. We will listen to the word of God by the text that is given in his words, verse 40. And ye will not come to me that ye might have life. And we ask the congregation specially, but always, to listen to the word of God, not to implement this text with all your own thoughts and meanings, but just listen very carefully. Ye will not come unto me that ye might have life. We hope to explain this text in the context of it. Maybe to the glory of God and to salvation of your poor and needy soul. May the Lord bless his word among us. But before we'll sing Psalm 36, verse 1 through 7, the text we have said already for this afternoon is to be found in verse 40, and ye will not come to me that ye might have life. Christ is addressing the religious teachers of those times, especially the Jews. He says, I am now here, present, the Son of God. So they said to him, you make yourself equal to the Father, if you call God your Father. But he said, I am now here. I am present. The dead will hear. Shall hear the voice of the Son of God, and they shall hear and live. And now I'm coming in the name of my Father. Verse 43. And he says, I'm coming here now to explain you the way of salvation, to explain the scriptures, the will of my Father. Verse 40. He said, my judgment is just because I seek not my own will, but the will of the Father which hath sent me. Christ didn't preach, well, he was preaching the gospel, his own will. He revealed the will of his Father, his eternal will concerning our salvation. And he had to come to fulfill the law, to fulfill the words of the Father. I come to fulfill the law. The will of the Father is in my heart. He says, I come that you may have life through me. While I fulfill the law instead of you, lost sinner. But then he says, when he has said it all to the Jews, he said, but ye will not come unto me. Ye not come. Come to me that ye may have life. Life eternal. Why do we need life? We are living it. What is life? Well, we are legally dead. Therefore, we need life. What's that, legally dead? That's like a man sitting in a prison and waiting for his capital punishment. That man is legally dead. He just waits for the moment he will be beheaded, isn't it? He's living, but in a little prison to wait for the last deeds of those people who will sentence, who will fulfill the sentence, the judgment in his case. And this is our situation. You can say, no minister, I can walk and live where I want. No, that seems to be true, but you are waiting unless you are born again, like a prisoner in a prison for eternal capital punishment. You are legally dead and you need life. Why? Well, the Bible says we are dead in trespasses and sin. Why? Because we sinned against God. With one sin, against the eternal majesty, we are made legally dead. My dear congregation, do you know, I can say it and you can acknowledge it, but do you believe it? Legally dead. Every sin incurs damnation. Eternal. We have eaten. And we all must die. Every one of us. You, my little boy, and your grandfather. You, my little girl, and your mother. You, friend, and your wife. We have to die. And then judgment. But there is more why we need life. We are also spiritually dead. That means we are deprived from that image in which the Lord created us. That's the image of God. By that image we had life in God, communion with God in paradise. We walk with God. We live in God. We praised His holy name. We had communion with God. We are created with the purpose to live in and through God. But by sin, that image is broken. I've said many times that image was like a mirror. Oh, God, like a mirror. The sun is shining in that mirror, and that mirror is responding to the sun. If God is the sun, and I was His mirror, then He shines upon me, and I shine to God. And now that image is broken. It doesn't function anymore. It's totally broken. We miss eternal life. That's communion with God. We are spiritually dead, unable to live in communion with God. We don't have that image anymore. You know why the whole world is seeking for something, missing something, empty and in vain? There's just one reason that we miss God. We are empty of God. Without God and without hope in the world. Because of that image is broken. We made the communion with God. God can have only communion with us in that spiritual image of holiness, wisdom. It's better to say it like the Bible says, that's wisdom. Justification, sanctification, and redemption. 1 Corinthians 1 verse 30. That's the image of God. Yeah? You can have, I'll try to explain it to you. You can have the best in this world you want to have. A good family, nice children, nice house. And when you come home this evening, you say, I'm empty. I have nothing. Yeah, your wife is loving you, but she can't fill my heart. I'm empty of that eternal life which is in God. That's our natural thing. And all the world is seeking and trying to find and can't. There's just one way in which we will have eternal life. That's in Christ Jesus, the Lord, the way, the truth, and the life. There's nothing in the world what can give you life than the Lord Jesus alone. And we are dead, therefore we need life. Spiritual life, communion with God. We need it. Even if you don't feel it, you need it. Spiritual life, peace with God. And if a man dies spiritually dead, he has to die forever without God and forever banished from the communion with God. Oh, terrible man. Most miserable of all creatures. I was in my life, I saw the cows apart in my life, I saw the cows happier than I was. When those cows died, the lives ended. But when I died without being born again, I was the most miserable soul of this world, dying without God and life, until eternal damnation. Separated from Lord, what a day will it be? My dear congregation, what a day will it be when the Christ comes back and you see all the people of God parting to the Lord Jesus and you will be alone on this earth. Your children, your wife, and you deprived from eternal life with God. But my dear congregation, there is made the provision. In the first place, for your legal debt, there is legal life. There is made the provision. Yeah. The Lord Jesus has called when he was in the fierce judgment of his Father. It is finished. He paid with his blood the price for the souls who were lost of his church. There is a provision. You know what we need? To be pronounced not guilty. And that can only be done if another in my place is made guilty. And he is reckoned with the sinners, with the murderers, to stay in their place. There is a provision on the expanses of the Son of God who pledged his blood instead of my blood. There is a provision, and it has to be preached that there is a way, legal life in Christ Jesus the Lord. is made a curse, that I would be made righteousness in him. But ye will not come, that you may have life. There is made a provision, and I will repeat the text, not my words, but ye will not come, that ye may have life. There is also made the provision for spiritual life. I've said, what's our spiritual death? Well, that the image of God is broken in us. But we lost that divine image. We lost our original dignity, our original honor. We lost it. And we will never reach the glory and the communion with God unless that image is restored in us. Therefore, Christ became a man. He was the image of God's presence. And he became a man that he would be in me by faith the image of God restored, that I in Christ would have new communion with God. My dear congregation, that's not just an imagination. That's not just a talk. That's not just something to say. When Christ is coming by faith through the Spirit in your life, you will know that life is restored with God. This is eternal life, that we know God and Christ Jesus, who is sent by him. You will know what it is, eternal life. Do you know what Bunyan said when his soul was saved? He cried, eternal life, eternal life, eternal life. And you need it, boy, to know the Lord Jesus. There is made, my dear congregation, a provision by God, not by man. I didn't touch it with just a finger. It's made free and sovereign by God. He is made of God unto us, says the Bible. Wisdom, righteousness, sanctification, and redemption. Only when that image is restored and Christ is living in me, I will have in that new image communion with God. You are a child of God. The familia Dei of the family of God. Huh? You know, my dear souls, when that day will come, and I call the people of God, isn't it? Then your heart was too small. The love was too heavy. And you had life with God better than all the pleasures of this world. One kiss of the mouth of Jesus. This is better, his goodness, than temporal life. There is a provision made. But again, I read my text, and ye, oh, I complain, and ye will not come, that ye might have life. Why not? Why not, my beloved? And ye will not come, that ye might have life. Why not? Good minister, how will I have such a life? How can I get it? I've heard so many sermons, but how can I have that life? Now, yeah, I know all your answers, but now listen to the text. Please, I beg you in the name of my Savior, this is the word of God. You know the way to come, to have that life. Come unto Jesus. Moya, no, I won't discuss with you. I say it again, come unto Jesus. And I beg you for the third time, lost soul, come unto Jesus. That's in the text. Ye will not come unto me, but he means, come unto me, that you might have life, that you have, might have life. Without coming, you will have never life. Without coming, you won't have life forever. I say it the third time, without coming, you won't have life forever. Ye will not come, says the Lord, unto me, that ye may have life. And my dear congregation, there is no other name given under heaven among men whereby we must be saved. There is no other way. There is no other name, no saint and no people of God, just the Lord Jesus. Come unto him that ye may have life. He said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. But minister, tell me, what does it mean? Come unto Jesus. What does it mean? Well, my dear congregation, it doesn't mean that you need to see him and come and look at him just on the places where he is preached, to hear him in the preaching of the gospel alone. I mean this. When Christ preached these words, there were many around him. And they saw him, and they heard him. But they didn't come. It was not just seeing him or hearing him. It's more and deeper. It's not attending a service or being involved in all work of the church. It's not sitting on your pew 30 years only. You can attend the service, being very earnest, leaving this, doing that, but not coming to Jesus. Isn't it? You can be an officer or prophet, having the light of prophecy, but not coming to Jesus. You can have the knowledge of the angels and having no love. You can trust in all the commandments, but not in Christ. Come. So it is not just coming and seeing the Lord or hearing or attending a service. And I had a professor in Groningen, and he always said to me, all the people who come in the church, I believe they are Christians. Now I said, I don't believe it. I heard this morning, two things. In the first place, I heard this morning that the minister said, yeah, they said, is this not the church of God? So in some parts of churches, they say, they're all children of God. Now, I don't believe that. I don't believe that. You need to be born again. Eh? So, your membership of a church, if it's just a membership of a church and not the knowledge of Christ, it's worth nothing. You can be busy in the church things, and you can have the ordinances of the church, going to the church services. Thousands come to the church on Sunday, but don't come to Christ. It's personal. Come unto Jesus. I'd like to sing first. It's 14, verse 1 through 7. My poor sinner. You only must come as a sinner who needs pardon, as a guilty sinner, as you are. I say only as you are, to seek pardon, forgiveness of sin. He says, come unto me. all those who labor and are heavy burdened, come unto me. And I will not reject you. Come as a sinner who needs forgiveness and trust in him. Are you a sinner who needs forgiveness? He said, come and trust in me. Are you a sinner who are so deprived that you are unworthy of the least of his merits? Come unto Jesus. He is here. Come by prayer and faith and trust in him. He is very kind. He has loving kindness. He is merciful. Do you need what do you know what's preaching? Preaching is proposing Christ as a willing Savior to save lost sinners. In the Dutch Canones it said, preaching is proposing Christ. And in the original it said, it's the work of a proponent. And a proponent is a man, a young coming minister. He proposes himself to the congregation. Now, that's what the Canone said. Preaching Christ is proposing Christ as a willing Savior, while he says, come unto me. See, and if Christ is not preached, how can you come to Christ if he is not proposed? Preaching Christ, says Paul, and him crucified. Holding up the banner of truth, which is Christ. Therefore, Peter said that is drawing Christ, being crucified. That's preaching. That's drawing Christ as a willing Savior, that you may come by prayer and faith to him. It's the work of John the Baptist, preaching Christ, the Lamb of God. But our text is, listen. And ye will not come, that ye might have life. And ye will not come, that ye, why are you rejecting Christ? Why? Oh, we must have his blood applied and brought home to our souls. He is the author and finisher of faith. Oh, come in prayer and repent and say, Lord, I rejected thee for so many years, counting that my sins were too much, and that thou wert not mighty to take them away, to cleanse them. Oh, am I saying in the prayer and in the preaching, it's not my words. I'm hiding behind the pulpit, and I'm bringing forward the word of God. And he says, you will not come unto me, that ye might have life. Why not? Life eternal. Oh, minister, are there some people who can exhort me as the promises of God will guide you? If you need a guide, listen then this afternoon to the promises of God. And God is sending his promises to lost sinners this afternoon. And he says, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Matthew 11:28. Isn't it a promise, a guide to that Lord and Savior which is on earth as he is in heaven? come ye unto him. And in no wise I will cast you out. Are you pushed by the law, condemning you, cursed, 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 like that blood-flowing woman, cursed, oh, cursed, you soul. Oh, I say unto you, see, that author or finisher of faith, Christ Jesus, he is yet here. But ye will not come. Oh, I complain in the name of my sender, the Lord Jesus, that ye may have life. But my dear congregation, how many are you of you are without Christ, and ye will not come, that ye may have life? And I complain again, could I upon your soul, and ye will not come, that ye might have life? Why not? Why do you reject him? I can give some reasons this afternoon. In the first place, because of that you think that you are not that. That is the most dangerous situation in which you can be. That you trust in the covenant. That you trust in vain in all kinds of promises. That you trust in your membership of the church. Going to the right doctrines. Living the so-called pious life. Being better than the world. But you are not that. In trespasses and sin. You are not without hope and without Christ in the world. You can live, but not having life in Christ. We do not want salvation. We are not that fallen creature. We are secretly better. We are half converted, baptized. What can we do than attend a good service and the doctrines of salvation? And we are resting in our midway covenant state, member of a church, going to a church, having our children baptized, but for sure not going to the Lord's Supper. No, I'm not converted. But having rest in vain and idle worship. Oh, you will not come unto me that you might have life, that you will have life. You know what you are missing? Asaph. 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 What's that? That the Lord would open your eyes. You think that you are rich and increased in goods, isn't it? You can tell a lot, but you know not, says Christ, that ye are poor and miserable and blind and naked. Oh, that the Lord would open your eyes this afternoon and say that I am poor, naked, and blind, without Christ and without God in the world. And my destination is, I can see, is the eternal damnation without Christ. Oh, that you may have eyes off, that your eyes may be opened, that your soul may be awakened. I can give another reason. You are self-righteous. You don't want to have Christ as a free gift. You are self-righteous. It means that you want to pay something for it. Your prayers or your reading of the Bible. Your neat behavior. Your sincerity. Your attending the service. Your knowledge of the Puritans. That, my dear congregation, he said, it's free, without price and without money. Come unto me, thirsty ones, and you will be satisfied. Yeah, I remember that catechism class girl, and said, my dear girl, it's free, but you want to pay for it $100, isn't it? or to creep one circle around the church here in Stockport, then you would start immediately. And she said, no, minister, I would pay $10,000, better than hundreds, and tell me to creep to Rome. I will try it. You don't want to have it for nothing. But it is for nothing. It's free. It's without price and without money. It's free. Come unto me and trust me alone. Oh, minister. I said once, if you have to come to Christ, you may. But the Lord has to empty all your pockets. When I was brought to my end, the Lord took a scissor and he take all my pockets empty and nothing anymore. Then a lost poor soul. It's free. Without price and without money. Klaas Kuipinga. Wow. Was an old man, I believe a carpenter. And he was in the congregation of Hendrik de Cock. And Hendrik de Cock was a liberal domine in Holland, and he was converted. And he knew Christ, and but before he was not converted, he was in the congregation of Ulrum, in the north of Groningen. Domine de Cock. He came as a liberal minister to that congregation. But in that congregation were some people of God, very, very neat, nice people. But they were praying for their minister. And then Klaas Kuipinghaat one day said to Domine de Kock, Domine, I don't even need to scramble off my nail to be saved. I'm saved by free grace, without a piece of my nail. And that pierced the heart of Domine de Kock. He said, I have to work for it, to be a neat man, nice and good. But that man is saved without anything, just by free grace. And that's true. It's free. It's only free. But you don't like to be poor and needy, To hold up your standard, To hold up your standard. Spiritual standard, Not being an unconverted man, poor and needy. You don't know. Just your standard, Good standard of Christian life. Yeah. But the Lord is saving only poor sinners. Come ye unto me, heavy laden and burdened, come unto me. But you don't will. You will not come unto me that ye might have life. The lawyers and the Jews thought that they had their own righteousness and they did not need Christ. And they therefore didn't want to come. Some people say, yeah, minister, but I can't do anything myself. Yeah, that's right. That's right. Oh, yeah. I know all your answers. But that's not what she said. You will not come that ye may have life. You cannot while ye will not. You will not come that you might have life. And you cannot, sure. You will not. Here, listen. I've said before I started the sermon this afternoon, I know I can bring the one text against the other text, and then this text has nothing to say anymore. But you leave this afternoon. You take your hand off, and your thoughts, and you leave it as it is this afternoon. Otherwise, the word will condemn you in eternity. This is said this afternoon, and ye will not come to me, that ye might have life. I can give another reason. You love the world. Be honest. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. I mean an inordinate love. You love your car, your salary, your nice house, your business. And if the love of the world is in you, the love of the Father is not in you. And you will not come unto him. Yeah, I know. You will come when you go out of this world on your deathbed. But I say you now, then it will be too late. You're not allowed to say that, minister. Some are coming on the 11th hour. Yes, but do you know what Calvin said? So life, so death. I've never seen a general of an army hiring old servants, crippled, blind. He's mostly hiring his army soldiers when they are young. That's the part when the most people of God are converted. Listen to me, especially in the ways of the covenant, I tell you. I had an old friend, and I say it again, and his name I called this morning. He is living in the land of life. He says, Domine, I have to tell you something. He says, some old people are dying without knowledge of Christ, and they are lost for an eternity. But I said, I hope for the youth that they will come. And where did I hear it? I heard it. Also in Holland. That young people were sincere, praying and seeking the Lord in tears, to come unto Him a repentant sinner. And you will have it on your deathbed. Yeah. Too late. Too late. You have to renounce the world to come unto Jesus. The fourth reason, because you hate Christ. You hate Christ! No, you hate Christ! That's our original sin. Hating God and our neighbors. You don't want to come to Christ. You want to be an idol of your own religion. Valued high, but not loving Christ. You hate Christ! I don't accept this sermon, minister. Leave it as it is. But you will see that this is the truth. Therefore, you will not come unto Him. You hate Christ to be your Savior. You know why? Because Christ is despised in the world. If you are a Christian, you won't have a name of honor and glory. He is despised in America. He is despised in Springfield. He is despised in this congregation, Christ. And you hate Christ. You don't want to be despised. You don't want to come to Christ because of His followers, all those people. The followers of Christ, those so-called Christians, eh? They have such a nasty life. They are not allowed to do anything. But I tell you what something. I tell you this. The pleasure of the followers of Christ in His communion are 1,000 times better than all the pleasures of this world. It's better to be in the house of God than in the house of the idols of this world. Oh, you are despising the people of God, and therefore you don't want the King of their people. Why? I give you another reason. You don't want the narrowness of life, of the way to pass in unto Him. You don't want the narrow way. You want to love the world and to see Christ, but I say that you have to go to the narrow gate, losing all, gaining Christ. And you will not come because you don't want that narrow life of a true Christian, just resting in God. And I give the fourth reason. You must depart from your lusts. You have hidden sins. You have hidden sins. And you can't serve two kings. You can't serve the devil and Christ. And therefore you have to depart from your lusts, from your sins, from your hidden sins. You can't go together. I had in my congregation once a woman. And when the Lord came in her heart, the first thing she had to confess, that some sin which she was bearing in her heart, hidden in her life. When she, by the grace of God, repented and said, "Oh Lord, forgive me my sins," Christ came unto her. Whilst he came as a lost sinner, repenting, trusting and fleeing to him. My dear congregation, I end with this text. "And ye will not come, that ye might have life." But wait, we will meet each other once before the bar, the judgment seat of Christ. And he will say to those of his people, "Come ye, blessed, and receive the kingdom of God." And to those who rejected him, he will say, "Go ye, depart first into eternal damnation." Oh, my dear congregation, for a little while, for just a little while, and we will see him. How do you dare to be without him? How do you dare to live one day without Christ? How do you dare to live with unrepentant sins? How do you dare to live without this Savior? How do you dare to die without Christ? And you will not come, that you might have life. Amen. O Lord, thou hast given us thy word, and we pray thee for true repentance in this place. Lord, open eyes, awaken souls, bring them down to be poor and weak. Let them not trust any more in vain glory and idleness of the world, and lie without thee. The God and I open their eyes, that they may come drawn by thee, O Father, by repentance and faith, receiving thee. O Lord, receiving eternal life. Be with us when we go home. Bless thy word. For the little children, the parents and the grandparents, take care of us and unsave us. And Lord, that we all may need thee, and by repentance and faith, come unto thee. And thou art so compassionate, so friendly, so caring, so loving, that thou gavest thine own life and blood. There is a provision, Lord. Bless these words this evening, for Jesus' sake. Amen.